Thank you and we praise you. Amen. Oh, today again, on the day of your resurrection, Amen. We can get together here. Amen. We can enjoy your word. Amen. We also can enjoy your spirit. Amen. Lord, we give ourselves to you. Amen. We want to turn our heart to you Amen. So that all the veils will be taken away. Amen. We pray that you will give us your rich presence. Amen. You know how much your enemy hates this kind of meetings. Amen. Lord, together we bind your enemy, Amen. Bind his distractions. Amen. Lord, we give ourselves to you. We just want you to be with us and want you to have the preeminence. Lord, we pray that this meeting may satisfy you. We thank you. We have no trust in ourselves, but our trust is in you. We just commit everything into your hand. We thank you and we praise you and we pray according to your wonderful name. Amen. Of course, today we are not reviewing any chapters, but on the other hand, we are having at least to me, it's a very difficult chapter. Because in this chapter, there are many things, sounds quite negative, and therefore, it is, to me, it's equally like to review many things. But then, to this this chapter, the more you will see, really, in this chapter, there are many things very important. And actually, it's a rich chapter. Okay, praise the Lord. The Lord is victorious. But anyway, let's come to this chapter 5. And in chapter 5, I'm glad that in the beginning we read the whole chapter, because based on my experience in the past, very often when we come to 1 Timothy chapter 5, and sometimes or a number of times the meeting I was in, they avoid verse 1 and 2. And probably this is something related to American culture, I don't know. To a Chinese person, and we consider these two verses very important, because the Chinese culture is that we always respect the older ones, even when we were young, and the older ones taught us this. If you do not listen to the older ones right away, you will suffer many sufferings, because the older ones had the experience. In Chinese, it says, 不听老人言,吃苦在眼前. That's the Chinese culture. But I thank the Lord I still dare to say this. It's because we have these two verses here. So this is not just the Chinese culture, but this is the principle in the Bible. And because we were all created by God, and the whole universe created by God. And therefore, when we all know Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, when it says that God created man according to his image. According to God's image, you see that we know the oldest person is God. No one is older than God. But he's ever new. But still, God is God. And he's the oldest one. No one can be older than God, right? Because he is the creator of the whole universe. And so here, then the more you get into this chapter, the more you can see that the first two verses are very important. So how about if we read these two verses again? Let's read according to our spirit. Do not afraid the other, as the brother. Women as mothers, younger women as sisters, in all purity. And so here it says, do not upbraid an elderly man. What does upbraid mean? That means you rebuke this elder one very sharply. And so this is not good. But even though these only two verses, but actually it is very, very important for the church life. And so we need to know that we are human beings. And because God created us as a man. So we all have the humanity. And don't think that because we have received the divine life, then we don't need the human life. No, actually, we still need the humanity, the human life. And so this is the example our Lord Jesus showed us. Our Lord Jesus, when he came to the earth, on one hand, he's still God, but it's very clear when the Lord Jesus on the earth, he still lived a human life, but he lived the human life not by his natural life. He still used the divine life to live the human life. This is something very precious. This is something we all have to learn. So I hope that all of you remember this, that we are human beings. Therefore, don't try to act like an angel. I know some Christians probably they want to be angels. They think if we become angels, then it's much better than to be a human being. No, no. Because angels are just the spirit serving God, even the spirit serving us. So we are the human beings, and we have a very high position. That's why God created according to his own image. So we repeat this Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, again and again. It says clearly, and God said, let us make man after our, what? After our, what? Oh, this is very important. You have to remember. I hope that you all can say these things in your dream. And so, God created us according to what? His image. Not anything else's image. Not the image of a monkey. And we were created according to God's image. Why? Because God wants to get the corporate man to express himself. Not only to express himself, and also to represent him. Right? So that let them what?
Have dominion
over the fish of the sea and over the bird of heaven and over the cattle and over the whole earth and over every creeping thing. What?
That creeps upon the earth.
Right. Every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth.
Amen.
Now what is the creeping thing? In chapter 1, you cannot find. But in chapter 3, Genesis chapter 3, we know very clearly that creeping thing is nothing else but Satan. Satan is that creeping thing. And why? Because God is God. He did not want to lower his position to fight with Satan. No. Satan was one of God's created angel, but God did not create a devil. God created an angel, but among all these angels, even archangels, this one rebelled against God. Once he rebelled against God, then he became the devil. And God did not create a devil. But all the living things, the high-level living things, God created them, and God all give us the what? Give us the free will. This is something God gave it to us. And then you say, then why not God want to create a free will for these living things. And then I said many times in the past, because God does not like what? God does not like this what?
Robots.
Not only God does not like robots, even we human beings don't like robots, right? And because on the newspaper, very often we see that, like I think it's the year before last year, that in the United States, 6,000 couples, they wanted to adopt the children because they could not have the children, and so the year before last year, 6,000 couples went to Russia, went to China, and went to other countries, tried to adopt the baby. Mm-hmm. And they knew what? They knew that when they adopt the baby, they will adopt a lot of problems, right? Because we all know, like a baby, the first year, very sweet. And especially the first year when they could call, daddy or mommy, the parents are very happy. But then when they got 2 years old, then you have what? Terrible two. So whatever you say, no. Come to eat. No, I don't want to eat. So the only way is, I forbid you to eat, or then I want to eat. So because we all have the Adamic nature, and so we our human life, it became a sinful life, is because Satan got into us when Adam and Eve received Satan's word. So all this we all know, right? So you can see that even we human beings don't want to buy a robot. It's easy today to get a robot. It's very easy. You can put the tape in the robot every morning. Robot can say, good morning, daddy and mommy, and I love you, and I listen to you. You can, every morning they can say this. But do you find anyone love or try to buy a robot? No. Nobody want to buy a robot. And so even though robot can, today is very easy, this kind of technology is nothing now. But then, so even in my cell phone, sometimes I ask, they say, inside the cell phone will say that, what can I do for you? And I said, I want to know the whether I have some message. Then she said, that I cannot help you. Then I said, why? He said, I don't know myself. And she talked to me as a living person. So this kind of thing. But then I realized it's no use to talk with her. But anyway, that is the situation. So God wants to create many living. Today, NASA tried to shoot the spaceship to Mars to try to look at whether there are other living things in the universe. Don't spend billions of dollars and to have this kind of spaceship to look for. You just read the Bible. Of course there are other living things. You have four living creatures, and you have the many other angels. So there are many other living things alive. But so my point is, we just need to read the Bible, then you know everything. So, but the thing is, at the time when God created us, he gave us the human life, and this human life is the good life. And therefore, when God created us to be the human beings, and then spontaneously inside of us, of us, we all have the desire to be good. All have the desire to even to know that we should respect our, we should honor our parents, because we receive the human life from our parents. And when we obey our parents, and you may not know, but then deep down within, you will have a good feeling. And if you fight with your parents and you hate your parents, then you will never be happy, right? So you could see that we do have this humanity inside of us. And therefore, here, these two verses are very important. These two verses means what? Means we are still human beings, and we need to live a human life. We need to have the human attitude and humanity. And then you will please God. Not only you please God. The important thing in this portion is that when we use the divine life to live a human life, and then in the church life, there will be a good atmosphere. And if you hated that, or you feel that many old people like us, and then talk too long, and they hate, but I tell you, you will not find the peace within if you don't believe you try. But anyway, so the important thing here is, in order for us to build up that church, then not only we need to prophesy, and also we need to what? We need to have a good atmosphere in the church life. I went to many different places, and even I was here for a long time. You could see whenever all the brothers and sisters are one, and very peaceful, then definitely the people are very happy. And when people are very happy, then when we go out to preach the gospel, the Lord will bless us. If we are not one, if we are hating each other, or we are criticizing each other, then eventually you will lose the Lord's presence. And therefore, in order for us to go on, in order for us to preach the gospel, in order for us to be built up, to have this proper human living, is extremely important. It is not live our natural life. It is what? It is use the divine life. We experience, enjoy the divine life in order to have a proper human life. I hope that this, the first point, you have to see this. And therefore, don't try to fight each other. Some other locality, I saw the people, I did not see, but I knew there was two brothers fighting each other. Then the one who knew me better called me right away. He said, "I didn't hit him, he hit me." Well, okay, then if he hit you, you should run away. Don't fight back. And so the main thing is, the Lord, how can we go on? How can we build up the church? What is the church? The church is the body of Christ. And then you see that when we are in, you know, Christ only has one body. And if we see the church is the body of Christ, and we are one with the Lord, one of the body of Christ, then you will receive the blessing. Whenever we have fights, we have problems to each other, then spontaneously we'll lose the blessing. It's really based on my many years' experiences, everywhere it's the same principle. So that's why the first part is very important, and we have to pay much attention to keep the church in a peaceful situation. And how can we do this? Not ourselves. We need to enjoy the divine life so that we can have the proper human life. I hope that the first thing is clear. Then the second thing, it mentioned start from verse 4. It says, but if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show respect toward their own household and to render return to their parents, for this is acceptable in the sight of God. In other words, the important point is this. All of us, we all need to have the attitude that we need to bear our responsibility. We all have to learn to bear the responsibility. I know sometimes, now I was a young brother in the past, and very often that we did not want to get married. Oh, because we don't want to, whether you know it, you don't know it, but at least within us, we did not want to bear the responsibility. And therefore, many of us, we get married late. It's not because don't want to bear the responsibility, and because we have to study. That make me and also my wife to get married very late, because she was studying the master's degree and I was studying the PhD, and therefore we delayed. But then I saw many other young ones did not want to get married. It's because they're afraid of bear responsibility. And but sooner or later, you have to bear the responsibility. And so in the church life, we have to, all of us, in the church life, no one should be losing their job. You will not lose any job. All the time, we need to bear some responsibility. If you are not involved in any kind of service, you go to other brothers or sisters and ask them, what can I do? That is the right attitude. So once, not only first, we need to be one, we have to the oneness, and on the second thing, we have to bear responsibility. Whatever the burden you have, and don't think of this as a small thing, and no, all the service are important. All the things are in, so actually, once Brother Wu Chimeni, when he was in Shanghai, and they had had a revival, and then everybody thought that's because it was Brother Wu Chimeni's ministry. Brother Wu Chimeni said this. Then later, Brother Li also repeated this, and. What did they say? They said, actually, the revival, Brother Watchman Nee's ministry, only 20%. His ministry, of course, bring in the blessing, but they both said it's only 20%. The other 80% are because there are many sisters and serve the church and to bring in that revival. So you can see that it's not just someone have. Of course, the ministry of the word is important, but on the other hand, for the church to become strong, for the church to go on, and we need many saints, brothers and sisters, to bear the responsibility in the church life. Okay, so this is the second thing that we have to see this. And then there's another thing I want to mention. So here in verse 11, let's read verse 11 together. He said, "But younger widow refuse, for when they follow their passions in degraded of Christ, they desire to marry and thus have condemnation because they have set aside their first pledge." In other words, it is not that they get married is the problem. It's because they had that desire or that kind of consecration, and so then they did not fulfill that, and so that was the problem. Now, I don't know whether it's I spoke here or to some other places, and so we when we study the 1 Timothy chapter 4, did I talk about 1 Timothy chapter 4?
Yes.
Huh? So we did cover, right? So there in chapter 4, and it says what? And it says, verse 3, he said, "Who forbid marriage and command let's read this together." Mm-hmm. Okay.
"Who forbid marriage and command abstaining from foods
which God had created to be with thanksgiving by those who believe and have full knowledge for the truth." That time I remember I did explain why Paul was so strong in this. Why Paul so strong in this is because for those who forbid people to eat the meat or to forbid people to get married, and that is to develop the man's soul life, and that's why it is it is from the demons. And but then in the book of Romans chapter 14, you still remember that? Yeah, in Romans chapter 14. So then you see that Paul was very flexible in there. It says, if I just read quickly verse 13, "Therefore, let us judge one another no longer, but rather judge this, not to put a stumbling block or cause of falling before your brother." He says that "I know and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, except to him who consider something to be unclean, to that man it is unclean." Then verse 15 is very important. It says, "For if because of food your brother is wounded and you no longer walk according to love, do not destroy by your food that man whom Christ died." And so then verse 17 says, "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." So here you can see Paul was very generous. And see, he said, whether you eat or you don't eat doesn't matter. And so if you eat, you eat for the Lord. If you don't eat, you don't eat for the Lord. And so it is very different from these two portions, right? So does that mean Paul compromised in the truth? No. So at that time, I mentioned to you that, of course, on one hand, you know, in the Bible, there are many truths. On one hand, all the truths are important. But on the other hand, all the truths are not equally important. You have the most important truths. All those truths that related to our salvation, related to the triune God, and also with the triune God, Christ, the church is the body of Christ. Therefore, the church is the body of Christ, is one with the triune God. All these are the major truths we can never compromise. If anyone say that even Jehovah's Witness, right? And they praise Jesus very much. Oh, he's the wonderful teacher, this and that. But they don't believe Jesus is the Son of God. If you don't believe Jesus is the Son of God, then that's the major truth we can never compromise. Even you can say Jesus is the most wonderful person in the human history. As long as you say he's not the Son of God, then right away, this you cannot tolerate. And then, concerning to eat, whether you eat meat or you don't eat meat, and whether these are not the major truths, these secondary truths. In other words, if you don't eat, as long as you believe Christ is your Savior, then you are saved. And so this is the secondary truth. Now, here you see there's some other problem here. On one hand, here in 1 Timothy, it talked about, he encouraged the young widow to get married. And this is different from what he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 8, it says what? And let me see. And he said, but I say to the unmarried and to the widows, it is good for them if they remain even as I am. Of course, Paul himself, he did not get married, so he was single. So here in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 8, and he said he hoped other people just like him don't get married so that they have all the time to serve the Lord. And so then but if they do not have self-control, okay. But anyway, if this person did not want to get married, and it's good because you'll be like Paul, and Paul did not get married. And so, but then here in 1 Timothy, and Paul is seeming like he talked completely different, right? And here in 1 Timothy chapter 5, he encouraged the young in verse 11, but younger widows refuse for when they follow their passions and so forth. And then he says, and not only that, for those younger widows that, and at the same time, they also learn to be idle, going around from house to house, and that they are not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, and speaking things which they or not. So because of these reasons, he encouraged the younger widow to get married. So they can have children, they can raise up their children. And so you can see that this is different from what he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, right? So here is not the problem of the major truth or the minor truth. But here, it's talking about the different environments. In other words, because of different environments, and Paul, he saw that to forbid the widow get married, then it would brought in many problems. Therefore, he was very flexible in this. Why I want to say this, and we know in 1947, Brother Watchman Nee had the training in Kulim. And in that training, he had 52 lessons. And concerning the work, now what kind of job should we use? In that lesson, and Brother Watchman Nee highly criticized businessmen. He said the businessmen only want to have other people's money going into their money. On one hand, that's true. Today, why Christmas is commercialized? Not only commercialized. Everybody do quick Christmas, and I had a in the past I had a neighbor who was a Buddhist, and she hated Christianity to the uttermost. But in the Christmas Eve, and she also went out to join the Christmas party. So you can see that it's all quite special. And I also said concerning the Lord's resurrection. That time I just came from Taiwan to New York. And I saw in the drugstore, there's so many rabbits, and even chocolate rabbits, very big. I said, how come they you loved rabbit so much? He said, don't you know that tomorrow is what? Easter. Tomorrow is Easter. We celebrate the Lord's resurrection. I said, what does rabbit have anything to do with the with the rabbit? And also with the colored egg, right? So all these are the business people's work. Because they promote this. So then during the Christmas time, and you have to, if you don't get a Christmas tree, at least you have to prepare some Christmas gifts. And they eventually, all the money get into the business people's pocket. And on one hand, so Brother Watchman Nee was correct. But on the other hand, many times businessmen really has its usefulness. For instance, if certain businessmen, and they had far away place, they bought some product, and then don't think that is not useful, but many businessmen just bought the product there and then transport to here. And then you can, we don't have to go that far to get those things, and therefore we just purchase the thing here. So sometimes, or many times, businessmen really has the usefulness. And therefore, so we cannot say that the if you get a job and is related to the business, and then don't say, oh, but the watchman he said, and that we can not take this job, and it's better. Oh, everybody go to the farm and to produce some products. This was what Brother Walter needs. They try to do something, produce the product, produce the rice, produce the flour, and whatever. Then this is the good kind of job. But today the situation is different now. Therefore, not only concerning the truth, you have the major truth and the minor truth, but and also concerning jobs and this kind of thing, and also you have different conditions. So you can see Paul was also very, very open to the environment. Okay, and so this is another thing we need to learn these things. And then, so I think I mentioned these few things. And then, yeah, okay. Then another thing is concerning, okay, let me see. Okay, so here you have concerning the elders. And verse 17, let's read verse 17 to verse 18, okay? Let the elders who take the lead well be counted worthy of, and especially those who labor word. And the scripture says, you shall not. And okay, so you have this concerning the elders. And I don't like to speak on this message. It's because they talk about the elders. And it happened to be I was one of the elders. And actually, at the time when Brother Kang was here, he was one of Brother Watchman Nee's co-worker. When he appointed me to be the one of the elders here, and then I really don't want to be the elder. And at that time, I was very young. You don't believe it. I was only 31, and so I called Brother Lee. I said, I'm too young for. Now, elders supposed to be older, right? I'm too young for that. But then Brother Lee's answer was that, but you already have 20 years church life experience. So because I was baptized young in Taipei, and once I was baptized, after 3 months, they started asking me to serve in the children's meeting. So then I served the children's meeting for a few years, and then I served the young people's the high schools. And then I served the college student. As I was growing, and then my experience of the church life was growing. So then eventually I also took care of the older ones and so forth. And so then so Brother Lee said, no, you already have 20 years of experience of the church life. And then, very soon after that, I because we had the, I mean, in United States at that time, they had the spiritual a problem, a spiritual someone rebelled against Brother Lee, and so many places got the. Damaged, and they said they had a new way to serve, and their new way is not Brother Lee's new way, and their new way is that the fishermen should get their hands dirty if the fisherman is afraid of getting their hands dirty, and then how can they catch fish? Then eventually, the answer, or eventually the, what happened was, then they said, therefore, if your gospel friend wants to go to the bar, and you go to the bar with them, and if the gospel friend wants to go to see the movie, and then you go to see the movie with him. And right away, we smell that this is not right. This is not. And then, but that really brought in a very terrible storm. The spiritual storm was very serious. And then, especially that also affected the church ground. So then, of course, eventually the Lord did something. So all those ones was exposed. Then they left the Lord's recovery, and then they really left some damage to the Lord's recovery. So afterwards, after some time, I saw that those people not only brought in this worldly things, and also they damaged the church ground. So then I called Brother Lee. I said, I feel that now they have did a lot of damage on the truth of the church ground. And can you give us a conference to give the church ground? So then Brother Lee said, okay, so then in on the West Coast, he said, Brother so-and-so, one of the elders in New York, and asked me to have this conference. And then in that conference is the conference about the 10 oneness. So he did not give the church life, but rather that is a very famous, now it's not the book, right? The important 10 oneness. And so, my point was, he was not sympathetic that I'm so young, but then he right away, he openly mentioned I was one of the elders here. But anyway, all these things make me very difficult to speak this chapter. But anyway, here, very important thing here, okay? So let us read number 18 and 19.
For the scripture says,
you shall not muzzle.
And the workman is worthy of his pay.
Okay,
so. Do not receive an accusation except
and
witness.
Okay, so here in chapter 18, it talks about we should respect the elders, not only respect the elders, and then especially those who labor in the teaching. Then verse 18, okay. Now, in verse 19, it says, against an elder, do not receive an accusation except at the mouth of two or three witnesses. Now, here it talks about to criticize the elders. And then, here is very important here. Especially in verse 19, it says, against an elder, do not receive an accusation except at the mouth of two or three witnesses. Now, here, according to Brother Lee's life study, he said this verse 19, this accusation imply it's because to criticize the elder is a very serious matter. Therefore, it is better you write it down rather than you criticize verbally. Now, I don't know Greek, whether the word is really like this, mean this, I don't know. But then Brother Lee said that this verse 19 not only it implies that because this is a very serious matter, therefore if you want to criticize the elders, it's much better to write it down rather than just verbally speak. But okay, if this verse, Brother Lee, if he made mistake and if you don't want to write on the paper, but at least this is very clear here. That is, you need to have two or three witnesses. In others, if you want to criticize the elders, it's okay. Not it's okay, but you at least you know you have to find two or three other brothers to be your witnesses. In other words, to say what you said is correct, and what you criticize is correct. If you cannot find two or three who agree with you to testify that what you said is true, if you cannot find two or three people do this, then it's better you wait until you can find two or three brothers that agree with you, and even to have the testimony, in other words, to prove that what you said is true. It is seeming that today I'm teaching you how to criticize the elders, and yes, it is. You know, we are the Lord's recovery, right? And throughout the past 2,000 years, because of the degradation of the Christianity, many things lost, even including the how to criticize the elders. Even this was also lost. And so many times people want to criticize the elders, but not the right way. And you have to what? You have to go to at least find two or three can be your witness. Yes, what you said is true. If you can, you can write it down. That is even more, it's better. But if you don't want to write it down, you just verbally criticize, then you have to find at least two or three to be your witness. So if people want to criticize, no problem, okay? When I say no problem, it's not concerning the church, no problem. Concerning us, we don't worry. If you want to criticize us, and you can criticize us, no problem. We will not vindicate ourselves, and we will not hate you. We still love you. And then, really, and we will not vindicate ourselves. And so, I just feel that God is real. God is living, and I never dream I will give this message. You know, we always follow the sequence, and I did not know follow the sequence that I will have to speak on this message, and so really. Yeah, I should have known. But anyway, the more I get into the message, the portion, the more I really see that it is the Lord's sovereign arrangement at this time and to have this message. And so, but anyway, first of all, I want to make sure if you want to criticize, no problem. We will not be, to us, no problem. Not it's to the church. To the church, yeah, you will damage the church a lot. But then, to us, don't worry. We will not hate you. We still love you. And then, but we just advise you to do it the right way and to recover. If you want to criticize, yeah. We will not vindicate ourselves, and also we will not hate you, and we will not do anything to deal with you, and we may have some fellowship with you, but then we know the Lord is our judge. We are not the judge. You are not the judge. I'm not the judge. Only the Lord is the judge. And so whoever wants to do this, we will not deal with you. We will not vindicate ourselves. We will just deliver you to the hand of the Lord. He is the judge. Let him to deal with this matter. And so then the last thing I want to say, you can see that so even concerning this matter of the eldership, and always it's a very serious matter. And so then if you want to do this, you have to do this according to what the Bible said here. Okay, so I just stop here, and you just share whatever you want to share, and so I think I have enough time, or I spend too much time. But anyway, praise the Lord. You can see that the Lord's word is really, really very precious. Amen. And so here, important. Oh, no, I'm sorry. One more thing I have to say. Now, what is the one more thing? That is concerning the, this concerning First Timothy, see that very famous verse. That is, you know, what verse? The verse talk about Timothy wine, right? So here you have okay.
Huh?
Yeah, right. So in chapter 5, and then so right after the concerning the elders thing, and then it says, it talks about the what people called the Timothy wine, and so he. Okay, that is verse. Okay. Then here, because Timothy, two things. Verse 22, it said, lay hands quickly on no man, nor participate in other things. Keep yourself pure. So in other words, we should not lay hand on people too easily. Because to lay hand on people, that means you are one with him. Therefore, you have to know whether this person, he has sin or he does not have sin. Now, if he has sin and you don't know, you lay hand on him, then his sin will become your sin. Because you say you are one with him. So this is the things that we have to be careful. And in Christianity, very often, they lay hand on people, especially Pentecostal people really like to lay hand. But then we have to, if we want to lay hand on people, we have to be very careful that you are sure that he did not have any sin or anything. But then verse 23, we can read together.
No longer
drink water only, but use a little wine for the sake of your and your frequent illness. So here you can see how Paul cared for his younger co-worker, the Timothy, because Timothy evidently he had trouble with his stomach, and so he was sick, and then Paul encouraged him to drink some wine. Don't drink the water. Why is this? I don't think Paul understand what it is, but just based on the outward situation, then he knew. But at that time, it was before, who was the one that visited Far East? Marco Polo. And when Paul wrote this. That was before Marco Polo's time. In other words, in Rome, in the western part, they did not know how to drink the tea. So they, Marco Polo brought tea into the western world. Once you have tea, then no problem because you boil the water. But in Roman Empire time, and why Roman Empire eventually become very weak? It's because of the water. And when they try to bring the water by very tight. If you went to Rome, they have this place to deliver the water from higher place to the lower place and through very thin tube. But that, and they don't use other kind of thing. They use the chain lead, yeah. They did not know lead is poisons, and therefore, when they drink the water, not only they have lead, it's poisonous, and also a lot of the germs there, and so don't despise the Chinese people. You know, when they built this the train from East Coast to West Coast, they build this train track, and many of those American strong people, many of them died. Why? Because they drink the water, and there are many germs in the water. And the Chinese people, they drink tea. So they boil the water. Therefore, no Chinese worker was sick or died. But many American strong person, and they, because they did not boil the water, and so they drink the water, and they got sick, and then they died. And therefore, so in this case, you can see, even though Paul did not understand inside the wine, they have alcohol and can kill the germs. And then, therefore, as Timothy, don't drink the water. And then you drink some wine. And so that would deliver him from the germs. But anyway, why I want to say this, there's a very famous Brother Watchman Nee's testimony. He went to the mountain area because Watchman Nee was sick with TB, and so he was in the mountain area. And in the mountain area, he met a man there. And so he preached gospel to this one, and he received the Lord, and he got saved. And then afterwards, Watchman Nee left the mountain, went back to Shanghai. And then the winter time came. This newly saved brother, he had this habit. Every winter time, he wanted to have a cup of wine going with his dinner. And then as he was trying to drink the liquor, and he did not know whether he could drink or he could not drink. So he said, too bad, this brother Watchman Nee, he went back to Shanghai, so I have no one I could ask whether he could drink the wine or not. Then his wife said, maybe you just drink this time, and then because she already prepared all the food and wine, then he said, maybe next time when you met by the watchman Nee, and then you can ask him then. But then eventually he met by the watchman Nee. So by the watchman Nee asked him, finally, did you drink the liquor or not? He said, I could not. Then Brother Nee said, why? He said, the one who is my boss inside of me and told me I should not drink. So that is a very famous Brother Watchman Nee's testimony. So for many years, we often use this phrase, we have a boss in our side. In Chinese, 叫当家的在我，我里面有个当家的。So we have this Christ living inside of us. He is our boss. And so when he said, we should not do that, and we should not do that. So in other words, let the peace of Christ to be what? Let the peace of Christ to what? So arbitrate what?
In our heart.
In our heart, right. Remember this, and we need to what? Let the peace of Christ arbitrate in our heart. And so if you have the peace, you go ahead. If you don't have the peace, you stop. So this is the last thing I want to share with you. Okay. Now, I don't think we have other. Oh, yes. Next Lord's Day, we have the Harvey Cedar, and we encourage all the parents, you encourage your children to go to Harvest Cedar conference. Now we have this conference many, many years. Now this conference, only New York young people. And we could see that these young ones, every time when they went to Harvest Cedar, this conference, they always have the Lord's blessing. And very often, then no one told them. And after the conference, many young ones, when they went back home, and they would went to their parents and with tears, and they very very often that they apologized many things they to their parents. So really, this conference always have the Lord's mercy, and so we encourage many parents here. Encourage your children, go to this Harvest Cedar. And so we believe that what God had blessed us in the past, and not only he will bless us again, we also believe that he will bless us even more. So I just make this one announcement. Then we can continue to prophesy in your language group.